Amen. Isaiah 37, I am glad you made it here today. God's been good to us. That we live in a country where we can still go to church. Anywhere you want to. Amen. You can still get up and go to church. Amen. Isaiah 37, I want to preach to you today on something that I haven't preached in a long time. That's the subject of prayer. And in this story, you'll see why. Isaiah 37, and I said it in Sunday school too. A lot of people miss the blessing not reading the Old Testament. And so please read the Old Testament as well as the New. All right, Isaiah 37. I'm going to skip around a little for the sake of time. The story is pretty long. But Isaiah 37, verse 1, if you will, we'll start there. And it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. And that was a sign of the Jew remorse and regret and sorrow. He ripped his shirt. He put on sackcloth. Some of them even threw dirt on their head. And so now Hezekiah has gone to the house of the Lord, and he's about to do something. He's had some bad news. He's had the news that another country is about to invade theirs, and they're going to take over. And a lot of children of Israel are going to be hurt. Yeah. A lot of the children of Israel will be hurt. And so look at now at verse 14. Verse 14, if you will. Now, I hear me pretty good on this thing. I hope you do. And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up unto the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Now, he's got a letter. He's laying it on the altar. And Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, saying, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwellest between the cherubims, that art the God, even thou alone. Of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Incline thine ear, O Lord, and hear. Open thine eyes, O Lord, and see. And hear all the words of Sennacherib, I can't ever pronounce that guy's name, Sennacherib, which hath sent to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations and their countries, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou alone. Now skip down to verse 33. Read it all when you get home, but just for the sake of time. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria. He shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shields, nor cast a bank against it. That means they would pile up dirt till they got high enough to get over the wall. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. In chapter 36, the king of Assyria sent a letter. He said, I'm going to send this letter to you to warn you. I'm coming to take you away. I'm going to take you to a better land than the one you live in. And he said, don't let Hezekiah persuade you, because your God cannot deliver you. He said, the gods of the other lands that we've invaded did not deliver them, and your God will not deliver you. Do not let Hezekiah persuade you. It was a letter, and they read it on the wall to all the people that listened. Hezekiah got the letter. He read it. It scared him. So he took it down to the temple where he met God, where he prayed every day. And he took that letter, and he laid it out before God. And he said, God, now this is South Carolina translation, okay? and you'll catch on. God, here's this letter this heathen king sent me. Read it, Lord. You'll see where he says, you ain't nothing. You're just like those other gods.
And he destroyed them, and he'll destroy you. And he tore them down, he'll tear you down. And he burnt those up, and he'll burn you up. And God, are you going to let this man do this? God, these are your children. God, this is your place. Please, God, stop this army and stop this man from entering this city and destroying your people. They're your people. And God prayed, and he prayed. And if you'll go on and read it, God did exactly what he said he would do. They never made it. They never got there. They did not destroy the city. They did not invade. Nobody died. Nothing was burnt. The Assyrians ended up turning around and going back, and it's a lot longer story, but the point of my sermon today is, in order to get what you want from God, verse 15, and Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord. We have to pray. I guess the most neglected part of our Christian life is prayer. You see, going to church can be a habit. It doesn't have to be a great spiritual thing. Some of you have been going to church since you were little children. You were raised in church. It's not hard to go to church. And people that tell me it is, I tell them, I say, church is the easiest thing we do as Christians. Getting up and going to church, making the old flesh go to church, you know, and not Walmart. It's harder for me to go to Walmart than it is church, by the way. I'd rather go to Dollar General. but the point being, prayer is a hard part. It's a difficult part because the devil throws everything he can at us. We'll forget to pray. We'll get sidetracked. When we do pray, we won't pray long enough. We won't pray serious enough. And a lot of times we will replace prayer with works. We will do something when we should be praying and then doing something. Instead, we will just do something, see. And so prayer is very important. This past week, there's been a lot of praying. There's been a lot of praying from people that don't normally pray. There's been a lot of prayer from people that do pray, and there's been more prayer from those people. And it worked. I think God intervened on a storm this week. I really do. And you say, oh, you really think God interferes in the affairs of men? Sure he does. We just read about Joseph this morning in Sunday school. God was in his whole life as bad as some of it looked. But that storm's coming. And you know my daughter Charity lives down there in West Palm Beach. And they said that the brunt of that thing was coming in right there. And it was going to go up that coast and tear up everything in Florida. And then it was going to go tear up everything in Georgia. And then it's going to tear up everything in South Carolina. And there might be thousands of people dying, all this stuff, you know. And boy, they really did dramatize it. And I said, Lord, don't let my daughter and my grandchildren go through that storm. I don't even want them down there to start with, and now a storm's coming. And there's a lot of other people down there that don't need that storm. There's a lot of people in Georgia that doesn't need that storm. There's a lot of people in South Carolina that doesn't need that storm. And I don't know what y'all think about Facebook, but I got on there and I got about 2,000 people agreeing with me that they didn't need a storm to come in on Florida and rip up the coast of the world up through here. And then churches got together and prayed about it. And believe you better believe people that had their windows boarded up and their doors boarded up was praying about it. Amen. We got some folks here today. I guarantee they're praying about it. Lord, turn that storm. Lord, turn that storm. I don't know how many of you have been in a hurricane. We ain't never been in but a piece of one up here, and it destroyed everything for 2 weeks. And so we're praying. And thankfully, God heard the prayer of millions of people and turned the storm. I really believe that. You say, oh, that's just Mother Nature. There ain't no such thing as Mother Nature. Amen. My mama's name's Ruth. It ain't nature. Amen. I mean, there ain't no such thing as Mother Nature. That's what people say that don't believe in God or don't want to talk about God. God turned the storm. We've been studying the book of Revelation on a Wednesday night. Some of y'all ought to come. And we've learned about there's angels on the four corners of the earth that turn things and change things. And God still is in charge of this universe. We've learned that in the book of Revelation. And so God turned that storm. And boy, we agonized, and we prayed, and we agonized. Now, these folks here don't even know what they're going to get when they get home, but I guarantee you they're glad to be alive. I guarantee you that's the most important thing they have is their life, amen, their children's life, grandchildren, things like that. And they don't know what they're going to find, but they came to church today. And they're not even in their town. And they didn't know they was coming to a redneck church. They just came to church. Amen. Amen. We started to name it Redneck Baptist Church, but somebody stopped me. But the Lord God, the creator of the universe, he didn't just make this stuff and let it go. He still is in charge of the affairs of mankind. And God intervenes. And in our story, we saw where one man thought that God was just another statue. He was just another totem pole or something. And he was coming to tear their God up like he tore up all those other false gods and destroy them and make them slaves like he'd done all the rest of them. But he found a real God that was really in charge in this place. Amen? And see, that's what prayer does. That's what prayer does. Here's some biblical things about prayer, real quick. Number one, God desires to answer prayer. It's not like God's sitting up there and doesn't want to hear. He wants to hear. And y'all know my favorite verse, Jeremiah 33:3. He says, call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That's my favorite verse. But look at Psalm 50:15. I'm going to go fast, so write them down if you can't get there. Psalm 50, look at verse 15. And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Well, there's people all up and down the coast of the United States of America today in church with their hands up saying, praise the Lord, hallelujah, glory to God, I'm alive, my children's alive, my grandchildren's alive. Some of them's even saying thank you for my chihuahua. And some of them's hollering about their stuff, my stuff's still there. And then others who, by the way, South Carolina, nobody died. As far as I've heard so far, nobody died. Georgia, I think only two people died. Unless they've changed that since I read it. I don't know anybody in Florida that died. I'm telling you, God intervened in that. And sometimes, did you know God lets things happen so we will pray? Because he desires to hear from us. He's our Heavenly Father. And prayer is the form of communication that we have talking to him. The Word of God, we read that, he talks to us through the Spirit of God. But he wants to hear the adoration and the praise from our lips. He gets glory by that, and he likes that. And if he has to put you on your knees, he'll put you on your knees. But he wants you to pray. He desires to answer your prayer. It's not like God's somewhere up in heaven and he's just holding back on things because he's a mean and hateful God. No, sir. He said, call, I'll answer. Call, ring me up. I'm waiting on it. I'm listening for you. And I want to answer it, and I will save you. See? Did you know in order to be saved, you have to pray? Amen. You got to pray. Some people say, well, there ain't no sinner's prayer. No, but he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's prayer. The first thing we do in our relationship with God is pray. We communicate with him. We say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Lord, I know I've broken your commandments. Lord, I know I ought to go to a devil's hell, but I don't want to go. And I believe Jesus died in my place and he rose from the dead. And I'm calling on you in his finished work to save me. And the first thing we do when we get in touch with God is through salvation by praying. That's how you get saved. You've got to pray to get saved. You say, well, I believe it all. Doesn't matter if you believe it or not. Whosoever shall call. You got to call after you believe. A lot of people believe it. I'll say, do you believe Jesus was a virgin-born son of God? Sure do. You believe he lived a sinless life? Oh, I sure do. You believe the Bible is the Word of God? Oh, I sure do. Do you believe you ought to go to church? Yeah, I sure do. I said, but have you ever asked him to save you? No, no, I hadn't ever done that. The first thing we have to do is pray. He desires to hear our prayers. Look at the history of the children of Israel. My goodness, they'd get up and they'd be glorifying God, and then they'd get down, they'd be in sin, and God would have to whip them, and then they'd pray, and he'd bring them back up again. Then they'd go a little while, and they'd get out of the will of God, and they'd quit praying and worshiping God. They may go to false gods. And then he'd whip them, and then they'd pray, and he'd bring them back to where they were. And listen, God, all through the history of the Bible, communicates with mankind by us praying to them. And he desires to answer your prayer. He's not holding back on you. You're holding back on him by not asking. Amen. people tell me stuff, and I say, well, have you prayed about it? Well, I didn't thank God. Well, quit thinking and start praying. He says, ask. He didn't say that there was anything too small or anything too great. He said, ask. Prayer, listen, some people say, well, I got the faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, so I must be able to move mountains. But the mountain don't move. You know why? He said, if you'll say, be thou cast into the sea. That's prayer. You got to pray to get what you want from God. And God wants to answer your prayer. And some of y'all in here, you've never prayed that first prayer. Did you know He's longing to hear that prayer? Did you know He wants to hear you pray and ask Him to save you? It's not like He takes any kind of pleasure in throwing people into a devil's hell. Hell wasn't even made for you. He wants you to pray and ask Him to save you. And you say, I don't understand enough. Well, start talking to Him. He'll talk back. Amen? Amen. He'll talk back. And then I thought about this. if we don't, sometimes, like the children of Israel, and Hebrews chapter 12 tells us, God has to chasten us to get us to pray. Amen. Are y'all listening? Some of y'all have been so pampered and spoiled all your life. You've always got everything you wanted. Your mom and dad's taking care of you. Are you listening, young people? Your mom and dad's taking care of you. They've given you some. Most of us didn't grow up like that. If we wanted anything, we had to go to work and pay for it ourselves. I went to work when I was 15 years old and been working ever since. I've never been spoiled. People's never just give me anything. I've had to work for everything. And the sooner you learn that, the better off you are. But God will take care of you. He will answer you. He will. I see these ladies covering up, Brother Rick. Will you go turn that thermostat back up to 73? He's the cool culprit right there. Hillbilly wants to stay cold all the time. And but God wants to hear. Now, as a child of God, if I don't talk to Him, He's going to make something happen that will make me talk to Him. Right. Amen. He'll do it. He'll do it. And then I thought about this. Sometimes prayers are not heard. Now, we read all through the Scriptures where prayers are not heard. He wants to hear from you. He desires to hear from you. He has a heart to hear from you. He wants to communicate with you. But there are biblical examples where He did not and has not and will not hear prayers. Let me show you something. Look at Psalm 35, verse 13. We got this thing going around the land now on TV. These TV preachers, they're so pretty and they're so slick. And they're so smooth, you know. And they'll say, send us $1,000 and we'll pray for you, you know. Well, you're praying to the wrong one when you send $1,000 to him. But they're just so slick. And they'll tell you, you know, if you send $1,000, we'll send you this little piece of cloth and you'll get well. Or we'll send you this magic water and you'll get well and all this stuff, you know. And they never tell you that sometimes God doesn't hear prayers. They don't tell you that. If they did, they'd lose all that income, you know. So there are times in the Bible that you can read that God did not hear prayer. Look at Psalm 35, verse 13. Look at verse 13. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting. Look at the last part. And my prayer returned into mine own bosom. He was praying for people that God didn't want to hear nothing about. Something had happened, and these people could not get what this man wanted them to have because there was a problem in their relationship with God. Not his. He prayed. He wanted what was good for somebody. But those people, God said, I'm not going to answer that prayer for those people. You know, some people you can't pray for them. If they've made up their mind God's not real and they don't believe this and they don't believe that and they're antagonistic toward the gospel and the word of God and the work of God and heaven and all this stuff and they don't want to hear about the love of God and the peace of God, you can pray all you want to. But until that person gets their relationship right with God, God's not even going to hear your prayer about that person because they've got to pray first. That's why he says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I've been to the hospital and seen people that were sick and prayed over them. And I'll be honest with you, I knew when I left out of there that day, it wasn't going to get no better. because that person didn't even believe what I was praying. That person didn't want a relationship with God. They didn't want God to do anything. They thought, I can handle this. I'm a man. Yeah, you're going to be a dead man. You're going to be a sick man. You're going to be a broke man. You're going to be a messed up man unless somebody gets through to God. Amen. So there are times when we pray for others that God doesn't even hear. He said, I'm not answering that prayer. I'll never forget, some of y'all know the story. These people write down my stories. I think this is number 129. This lady came to church, and she came to church, and she asked me, would I go see her husband? She said, my former pastor used to go see him every Thursday night. They'd have coffee. And I'd say, well, I ain't going every Thursday night. I'll go once or twice. If he don't want it, I ain't going to force it on him. So I went in there, and we had donuts and coffee. And he was real nice, talked about his job and talked about his family and talked about the current situation in the world. You know, he's all up on that stuff. And then we went to the living room, sat down. I said, well, let me ask you something. If you died right now, do you know for sure you died, you'd go to heaven? He said, preacher, we're not talking about that in my house. I couldn't believe what I heard. I said, well, listen, your wife loves you. She's going to heaven. She wants you to go to heaven with her. Preacher, we're not talking about that in my house. Said, we're not talking about the Bible. We're not talking about that kind of stuff. He said, preacher, I like you. You're a pretty good fella. He said, you come see me every Thursday night like that other preacher used to do. He said, but I'm going to tell you this. We're not talking about that in my house. And boy, I just felt the Spirit of God leave that room. I got a cold chill. I said, well, listen, if we can't talk about that, there's no reason for me to be here. I said, God loves you. He wants you to go to heaven. I said, can I pray for you before I leave? He said, no. No, don't pray in my house. Don't pray for me. I said, well, that's awful. I said, well, you can't stop me when I get on the front porch. I'm going to say a prayer before I leave. He said, no, you ain't. You're not praying on my front porch either. You know what I did? I didn't pray. No, I didn't. I didn't pray in the car. I said, that man don't want me to pray for him. He done showed me, and I think the Spirit of God moved on me. I don't want him to go to hell. I don't want anybody to go to hell. But it sounds to me like he's made up his mind to go to hell. And there's nothing I can do for him. He don't want me to talk about the gospel, so what do I have good for him? We can talk about football, baseball, NASCAR, fishing, work, and all this stuff, but he's still going to die and go to hell without a Savior unless he lets somebody talk to him about the gospel. And he commanded me not to talk, and I'm not the first one he did that to. He did it to the pastor before me, so there's nothing I can do. And I'm going to be honest with you, it never bothered me again, and that's the only man I can tell you that about. That's the only man I can tell you that about. But sometimes God say, don't pray for them. I'm not going to do it. Look at Psalm 109, verse 7. Psalm 109, verse 7. Some of you in here today are dependent on the prayers of your loved ones. And you're just hanging out. You're saying, well, I'm not saved yet, but they're going to keep praying for me, and one day I'll give in, I'll get saved. Well, it may come today. He tells them not to pray for you anymore because he's not going to save you. He's called you for the last time. Amen? Psalm 109, verse 7. Look at verse 7. When he shall be judged, let him be condemned, and let his prayer become sin. Now, there's a time in the Bible where prayer is sin. Sin means it's something God doesn't like. So there comes a time in some people's life to where they have been such an unbeliever, and they've turned away the grace of God, and they've resisted the grace of God, and God will judge them before they ever die and say, that's it. I'm not even going to hear their prayer anymore. They're condemned. And listen, their prayer is like a sin to me. I don't even want to hear it. You say, well, I thought God is love. He is love, but he's not going to force it on them. He's not going to make them receive his love. He sends it out. Jesus said, come unto me, all you labor, heavy laden, you'll receive rest. He sends it out. He sends out the call. But one day, after rejecting long enough, he might say, I don't even want to hear that anymore. That's it. And listen, it may come today. Let me read you another verse. It may come Proverbs 28:9. Proverbs 28:9. Turn over there with me real quick. Proverbs 28:9. Now, it may come today. Look at verse 9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, that's the word of God, even his prayer shall be an abomination. Now, we got this homosexual thing going on nowadays, and God loves homosexuals, and He loves everybody. But, you know, there are some sins that He says are just sickening. They're an abomination. And He said, here's a person that they've got to the point to where a prayer makes me sick. It's sickening to me. You say, Pastor, I ain't never heard nothing like this. Well, it's time you did. Amen. We need to fear God. We need to look to God and say, God, I'm glad you called me one time. Amen. Much less 2 or 3 or 5 years or 10 years or 30 years. God, you could have just looked down here and said, I ain't going to hear it anymore. It makes me sick to hear it. You're not going to be saved. Proverbs 28:9. Look at it. Y'all don't go from here and say the preacher said this stuff. Look what the Bible says. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. You ever heard anybody say this? Bible thumper. Don't come around here preaching to me. Don't come around here giving me that Bible. I don't want to hear that stuff. Well, they better watch out. It may come a day to where God says, okay, you didn't want to hear what I had to say. I don't want to hear what you got to say. And it may not be about going to hell. It may be somewhere down the road they have a sick baby in the hospital near to death, and they get down to pray for that poor little old baby, and God says, I'm not hearing your prayer. You wouldn't talk to me when I talked to you. It's done. I'm not doing anything for you. That's a dangerous thing to ignore God. It may be they go to the doctor one day and he gives them the big C word and says, you got liver cancer and you're going to die. Get ready, 6 months from now, you're going to die. And this guy heard about somebody else having the same cancer and God healed him. So he runs down to church and runs down to the altar and says, I got liver cancer. God, I'm going to die. Have mercy on me. Heal me. And God might look down and say, I don't even want to hear that. I called. You wouldn't listen. Now you're calling. I'm not going to listen. You say, well, I just didn't think of it. No, you thought of God as some big Santa Claus. Some great big grandpa up in heaven just waiting to give you everything you asked for. I've got news for you. He's a holy God. And He's a righteous God. And He doesn't overlook sin. He doesn't wink at sin or unbelief. And listen, God calls, and if you don't answer, He may never call again. And then when you do call, He may not answer. It's got through our churches and our land that you can get saved anytime you want to. And I've been to many of them on their deathbed think, well, preacher said if I call on the Lord, I can be saved. But you know what? It may be too late. He may have called him the last time 20 years before. He should have got saved while he could get saved. And now he's laying in the bed dying. He wants some preacher or priest to come by and impart eternal life on him by reading him the scripture he never wanted to hear in the first place. Don't think you can just get saved anytime you want to. There's an appointed time. When he calls, you better answer. And then, so there's sometimes, even though God says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great mighty things which thou knowest not, there comes a time to where he's called and called and called and you've not answered the call. So when you do call, he's not listening anymore. You say, well, preacher, how do we get our prayers answered? I'm glad you asked. Proverbs 15, look at verse 28. Proverbs 15, look at verse 28. Look at it with me. 28 and 29, I think. Look at 28. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. You see that? Look at 29. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. The Lord is far from the wicked, but He heareth the prayer of the righteous. You know how to get your prayers answered? Get right with God. Stay right with God. You used to hear this. People would say, Ron, you want a drink of this beer? Ron would say, no, I'm trying to live right. You don't hear that no more. Here's what they say now. No, my wife would kill me if she caught me drinking. Well, who's your Lord?
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Used to be people would ridicule you ladies for trying to dress like a lady. And they'd make fun of you. You say, well, make fun of them if you want to. I'm just trying to live right. You don't hear that much anymore, do you? And I got news for you. He says, I'll hear the prayers of the righteous. Now, he didn't say perfect. He didn't say sinless. He said those who have a desire to please God, that's the righteous people.
Amen.
They're not living in selfish, sinful pleasure. They're trying to live to please God. They're keeping short accounts with God. They've been saved, and now when they sin, they immediately say, Lord, that ain't me. I don't want to be like that. That's old me. God, forgive me. Cleanse me by the blood of Jesus. That's called staying right with God.
Amen.
And God will hear your prayer. You know the most motivating factor in a Christian's life to pray a lot of times is disaster or disease. And if that's what it takes for God to stay in touch with you, He might just send some of that. He might just send some of that. You know, we think we get saved and then we can just, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. Oh, sick. Joel Osteen may be that way, but the Bible ain't that way. Let me tell you something. We're going to have to stay right with God to get our prayers answered. I've got 3 daughters. I love them. I love them. Don't you mess with them. I'll preacher slap you. Amen. Then I'll daddy slap you. If you want to really get hurt, mess with my grandkids, I'll grandpa slap you. And then I'll ask the Lord to forgive me. And He will. He probably wanted to slap them too. But the most motivating factor in a Christian's life a lot of times is what might happen if we don't pray. You say, well, you got a mean God. Young people, listen to me. He is mean. He's awesome. The Bible calls Him terrible. He's a terrible God. You know what that is? When you looked at that picture of that hurricane on television, that thing twirling and destroying all that property and all that water coming up, and that, you know, that thing originated in Africa and it travels across the ocean and it gets bigger and bigger and it brings billions of gallons of water off the coast of Africa and dumps them on Buford. And you see that? Now, it's an awesome sight. It really is to see that. It is. I've been at the ocean before when there was a bad storm, and I just stand out and look at it, and I'd say, glory to God, look at the power of God out there. God did that. I'll never forget the first time Tony Green, some of y'all know him, he's preached for me many times. Brother Tony, people kept saying they were coming back from the beach. These men were saying they caught 100 fish or 200 fish and all this stuff, you know, and the fish was running up the coast, you know, the spot. I think they call them spot. Y'all would know more about that than I do. But those fish was running up through there, you know, and they said, if you can get down there, you can catch them by the bucketfuls in an hour. Men's coming out there with 150 at the time. And I said, well, I ain't never been on a successful fishing trip since I've been saved. I said, but we'll go. We got up about 25 men, put them on an old bus. We took off down there to Myrtle Beach, North Myrtle Beach. We even rented a house. And we pulled up in the parking lot there at that pier up at North Myrtle Beach. And as I was the last one off the bus. And as I stepped off, that last spot swam out around past that pier right across there. Last one. They fished all night and they caught 2 fish. They didn't teach us a thing. Didn't teach us nothing. But here's the next year we did it again, and Tony Green went with us. And when I stepped off that bus, that last spot swam out across that pier and went out through there. They didn't catch nothing that night, nothing. But here's the story. Tony Green got off that bus. He walked down there to that. He'd never seen the ocean. And it was a full moon. And I'd never seen the ocean flat. It was flat. I'd never seen that. There wasn't no waves, just little tiny things up there. But it was flat and slick, and it was reflecting that moon. And Tony started crying. He said, glory to God. Look, glory to God. Look, North Carolina country boy saw the ocean first time. And he starts walking. Everybody's getting up on the pier to go fishing. Tony's done throw this stuff down. He's walking up down the beach saying, glory to God. Hallelujah. Look, look, Brother Ron. Look, look, Brother Ron. Oh, hallelujah. And we could hear him for 30 minutes. He was walking up and down that beach praising God, shouting. And we was up there drowning bait. God's awesome. His power is awesome. And it's terrible. That was His power that tore those houses down. That was His power that tore the piers down. That was His power. You say, but I'm a Christian. He tore down my house. All things work together for the good of them that love God. But I'm telling you, He's not some grandpa. He's powerful. And He's terrible, the Bible calls Him. And you better be afraid. Even believers, we ought to fear God. Our country, by the way, our political situation just reflects our spiritual situation. The average American is just like what's running for the White House. That's why they're running. The average American is the same way. We need a spiritual awakening, not a political awakening. If you get the spirit right, the politics will be better. Amen. That's my politics. But I got news for you. God doesn't wink at sin. God doesn't overlook sin, even we as believers. And the thing that motivates us the most ought to be the fear of a holy God, even if He's your Savior. Amen. Now, I never had a daddy, but I tell you what, I wanted my kids to love me, but I didn't want to be their buddy. They didn't need any friends. They had friends. They needed a father. I never had one. And I didn't know how to be one, but I sure was trying. And I never did want them to like everything I did. They said, Daddy, if they say, Daddy, I don't feel like going to church. I said, shut up, we're going to church. Well, I don't want to do that. Well, I'm bigger than you are. And as long as I'm bigger than you are, we're going to do what I say. I'm Daddy. Amen? Amen. And it wasn't because I was mean or didn't love them. It's because I did love them. Don't tell me you love your kids and you don't make them go to church. You're lying. Don't tell me you love them. Don't make them go to Sunday school or get involved in Christian stuff. You're not telling the truth, because if you feared God, you'd try to get them close to God. And they're not going to get it at the skate rink or the bowling alley. Amen. Good preaching, preacher. Go ahead. They're not going to get it on Facebook, Twitter, Tweeter, or anything else they own. You better get them to God, even if it makes them mad. You better be afraid for them. That motivates us when we're right with God. That, hey, prayer, listen, if it's going to be heard, you're going to have to be right with God. Well, preacher, I pray every night. Now lay me down to sleep. Pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die and fall away, I pray the Lord my soul to take. He ain't hearing that. If you was three, He'd hear that. But you got a lot more to talk about now. You bow your head at lunch and you say, God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him for our food. You ought to be past that. Amen. Hey, you ought to say, thank God I've got something to eat. There's people in Haiti eating out of the trash pile. Amen. Thank God I live in a country where I can go to church. If I was in an Arab country, they'd chop my head off for this. God hears the prayers of the righteous. I've talked to drunks, and they said, well, I pray. He don't hear them. He don't hear them. Listen, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. I thought I was through, but y'all have inspired me. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. Look at it real quick. I can tell some of you are looking for KFC right now. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 3, look at verse 12. Real quick. Hurry. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Madonna prays before she goes on stage. You think God hears that? No, God don't hear that. Prince used to pray before he went out on performance. You think God heard that? No, sir. God didn't hear that. Well, you're judging, preacher. No, I'm not. I'm just showing you what the Bible says. Amen. Look at John chapter 9, verse 31. John chapter 9, verse 31. By the way, it goes for your country singer too. John chapter 9, verse 31, or your rap singer. John 9, 31. Look at it. Now we know that God hears not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth His will, him He heareth. Now, let me tell you something. God hears the prayers of His saints. He does not hear the prayers of the devil's crowd. And I don't care how good their prayer is. I don't care how good intention it is. You'll talk to God. You'll pray to God the way He requires. He's the one that made the rules. You're not going to change them just because it's your child. You're not going to change them just because your grandchildren. You're not going to change them just because you got money in the bank. God made the rules. We'll go by them or he won't hear our prayer. Amen? Amen. Look at John 3:3. And most of you know it. I'm just telling you. Turn there. Jesus is talking to a religious man. Though he was religious, he still wasn't righteous. You know why? He'd never been born again. His religion was self-righteousness. His religion was keeping rules and regulations and dress codes and all this stuff. And I'm not against those if you're right with God and you're trying to build some walls and have boundaries. But he thought this was merited in eternal salvation by keeping these rules. And Jesus looked at this man, a very intelligent man, a very biblical Old Testament man, and he said, ye must be born again. Now, I love some of your kids, but I ain't buying them nothing. They come to me and say, preacher, will you buy me this? Will you buy me? No, you ain't mine. Go talk to your daddy. Amen. Come on. You the same way. Some little strange kid run up to you in Walmart with a toy in his hand and say, will you buy me this? You'll look at him and say, I don't know you. I ain't buying you nothing. And it's the same way with God. God doesn't answer the prayer of unbelievers. They won't believe on His Lord, on His Son's death and burial and resurrection. Why should He answer their prayers? They've called Him a liar because of unbelief. They're saying, God's a liar. That didn't really happen. I don't need that. But then when they want something, they want to pray. Look at John 1:12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power. The power, that means the right, the authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Now let me tell you something. There's two families on planet Earth. You're either a child of the devil or you're a child of the Lord. That's it. Well, preacher, I don't follow the devil. It doesn't make any difference. You're living in rebellion against God and His Word and His Son. That makes you a follower of the crowd. There's only two crowds in this world, believers and unbelievers. There ain't no black, white, yellow, striped or polka dotted. They're all, you're either a child of God or you're not. Well, everybody's born a child of God. No, we were all born creations of God, but we have to be adopted into the family of God because we were born wrong, just like Lady Gaga said, we're born sinners. We couldn't help ourselves. So we get born again. And we get born again by admitting we're a sinner because all have sinned and come short in the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. All we like sheep have gone astray. There's none that seeketh after God, no, not one. We admit we're sinners. And by the way, to qualify for a sinner, you don't have to be a drunk or a drug addict or a homosexual or an adulterer. All you got to do is commit one sin and you qualify. And we got 10, and you ain't going to make it past the first one to love the Lord thy God with all your heart and your mind. And your... Hey, listen, we've all sinned. Amen. And then number two, after you admit you're a sinner, you've got to believe what God said. Amen. Now you've believed that He says you're a sinner. You've gotten one step closer. Now He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You got to believe He was not a sinner. He was born of a virgin. His father was God, not Adam. Wherefore is by one man sin entered the world, Adam. And death by sin. The wages of sin is death. But, the other verse says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So you admit you're a sinner. You put it all on Jesus Christ. You say, I know I'm a sinner, but He died in my place. He paid for my sins on the cross. And then you say, and to prove that God accepted it and that He was everything He said He was, He rose from the dead the third day. No other religious figure has ever done that. And now He sits on the right hand of God interceding for us. He's our advocate. He's our lawyer. He looked. The Lord God looks down and He sees old sorry Ronnie. And He looks over at Jesus and Jesus said, Father, forgive him for he know not what he does. I've already paid the price for him. Look at here. Look at here. I've already paid the price. He's one of mine. And did you know what? God forgives me over and over and over and over. And by doing that, did you know He hears my prayers? He hears my prayers. I'm not the best Christian in this room. I'm not. I could tell you who is. But I won't. You know who they are. You know who they are. But I'm not the best Christian in this room. I'm not. There's some people here better Christians than I am. But do you know what? I'm a Christian. And he hears my prayers just like he hears their prayers. And he's not prejudiced between his children. If you love him and you try to serve him, live right, then he'll hear your prayers.
Amen.
Now, you don't have to be the best Christian. You just have to be a Christian that cares enough to pray. If you're not saved, you're not a Christian, so you don't qualify. Our Father doesn't hear your prayers. And if you put it off long enough, he may just never. You better come while he may be found. You better receive while he's calling. And today, by the way, you know whether he's calling you or not. I'm not calling you. I can't save you. The Spirit of God right now, if God's calling you, the Spirit of God's saying, this is what he's doing. He's saying, listen. He's telling you the truth. The Holy Spirit's saying, he's talking to you. You feel it. And your heart's going. And that's the Spirit of God drawing. I don't have the vocabulary to do that. I don't have the power to do that. Only God can do that. And you better come while he's calling. He didn't have to call you the first time. He'd still be just and holy and righteous. He's doing it because he loves you, and he may never call again. Let's stand. Father, thank you for the Word of God that we can pray. Storms can be turned. Lives can be saved. Souls can be redeemed. Sicknesses can be healed. Problems can be solved. But it's not by our righteousness, but his righteousness that all that is done. Not because we deserve it, but because you have pity on your children. You know we're made up of dust, but you hear our prayers anyway. And you answer our prayers anyway. And God, this past week, you heard our prayers and you turned a storm. And people that could have died didn't die. And things that could have been destroyed were not destroyed. And people that had not prayed are now praying again. And people who had quit church have gone back to church again. And it'll all work out for your glory and our good. And then, Lord, other times we've seen you heal people. We've seen you raise up people that everybody else said was going to die. And we've seen lives change that other people said there's no hope for that guy, no hope for that gal. And you intervened because somebody prayed. And today we're praying that not one leave here without being saved. And not one leave here out of your perfect will. And not one leave here without knowing that you love them so much that you sent your son and you desire to have a close relationship with them by prayer. So Lord, you save that one that's near as hell right now. You reclaim that one that's wandered afar off. You bless that one that's discouraged. And you do a miracle in our hearts as you do every day. And we'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now look up this way before I tell you where